We're in awe to be invited.
Thank you.
We're in awe that we're welcome anytime. Now, Jesus, we need you tonight. Teach us what you need us to know. Let us, enjoy you.
Thank you.
Let us enjoy you. Great, 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 and mighty, mighty, mighty one. God of love, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now you know one of my favorite ministers, which I have several. One is Keith Moore. And I was listening to Southwest Believers Convention with Brother Copeland's ministry and healing school. And what he did is he had one of the pastors at EMIC, his name is Dwayne Munoz. Excuse me. Give his testimony. And his testimony is that his nine-year-old daughter, this is 2 years ago, his nine-year-old daughter was diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
9 years old?
9 years old. A lot of pain. And so they, of course, did the treatments that the doctor suggested. And one thing was chemotherapy in pill form. And he said, we prayed over that medicine, that it would not have any negative effect on her. And they talked about the side effects with this and that. And Brother Copeland spoke up and said, yes, all of you that are taking medicine, I'm not telling you to stop taking it. I'm telling you to pray over it so that what's in there that your body needs can be assimilated, and what's not in there that your body does, what's in there that your body doesn't need won't affect you. Excuse me. He went on to say that the way they worked spiritually with her and this disease, it was 9 months they went through this, and they got a hold of this document that you have in front of you called 101 Things God Said, and they would read this in her presence 3 times a day.
Hallelujah.
And when they weren't reading that, they had healing scriptures audibly in the room going all the time. And he said she was so committed to believing God would heal her that when the pain got so bad, she didn't reach for the nurse or the call button. She reached for the speaker with Brother Copeland preaching and reading scripture. She knew that's where her help was. After 9 months, the doctor said she is healed. She's cured. She does not have cancer anymore. And they went to take care of all the bills, and the hospital said, all of your bills have been paid. But about a year after that, they found, they did surgery and took out the left ovary, and the left fallopian tube, because the tumor was the size of a softball. So they just took all of that out. But she said, I believe in God will replace that. She's 9 years old, and so they're just saying, okay, honey, okay. Well, a year later, they found a spot on the other ovary. And, of course, they continued to speak healing over her, even though the doctor pronounced her well, but that was their lifestyle by that time. And someone gave them a word that spot, when the doctor went in, it would just pop off. And sure enough, the same surgeon performed this surgery on the other ovary, and when he got to that spot, it just popped off in his hand. And it was benign. It wasn't cancer. And so he came back and I don't know if he did it in person or a telephone call, but he told the mother, he said, it was benign. No problem. She'll heal up fine. Both of her ovaries and both of her fallopian tubes are fine. And the mother said, aren't you the doctor, the surgeon that took out the left fallopian tube and left ovary? And he said, yes, but I'm telling you, they're both fine.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And so after that testimony, Brother Copeland had this displayed on the screen, and he proceeded to read each of these healing scriptures. Yeah. Now, what Keith Moore has done, well, it just says right here, how do we know whether it's God's will to heal us or not. And the people in this room, we believe it's always God's will to heal. I know that some people are unsure still. But he says it makes little difference what other people say about it. What does God say?
Amen.
About his will to heal? And remember that God is no respecter of persons. It says in Acts 10:34. And he never changes. Malachi 3:6. And Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he said to them yesterday, he said to you today. God's word is God speaking to me. Now he gives a little explanation. He said these statements are taken directly from the Bible with little or no variation. The verbs and construction have been changed to apply to you personally and to sum up the thoughts in some instances. Also, many of these statements are prefaced by phrases like, if you walk in my commandments, or if you believe, obey, etc. So what did God say? Now we have 101 things God said, and these are about healing. Here's the Old Testament. God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. You read the next one.
Your days shall be 120 years. Genesis 6:3.
Job number 3.
You shall be buried in good old age.
Genesis 15:15. And so the Lord is assuring us through these scriptures, it's his will for us to live a long time. And verse number 4 is the same idea. You shall come to your grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season, Job 5:26. Now we get into some other scriptures, and he pretty much goes in order of the Bible. So Elizabeth, read number 5, please.
When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you.
And you might say, what does that have to do with me? Well, there's all kinds of things that can be classified as plagues that in our current vernacular we don't use that word. Someone was telling me the other day they had a plague of flies inside their house. They had to have an emergency exterminator come. You can have a plague that's a sickness, a disease. Eczema, for example, is a plague on your body. It can be infestation of some kind. But it says here, the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. When? When he sees the blood of, and of course that was the blood of an animal representing. The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Number 6, Elizabeth. Oh, you just read that.
Yes.
Number 6, John.
I will not put any diseases on you, afraid of you. I know what it says. I will not put any other diseases on you or afraid of you on you. What's that mean?
I'll not put any of the diseases you're afraid of on you.
Okay. But I will take sickness away from you.
Well, what a great promise, because we hear various things, especially as communication develops. We hear of sicknesses and diseases. Fear can come. But he says, even if you're afraid of them, I'm going to take all sickness away from you. Excuse me. Number 6, I will take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. Exodus 23:25-26. Jump to 8, Elizabeth.
It will be well with you, and your days shall be multiplied and prolonged as the days of heaven upon the earth. Deuteronomy 11:9-21.
Isn't that wonderful? It will be well with you. Oh, we have so many things that it's easy to become afraid of, easy to worry about, especially the future. I hear people talking and they're concerned if this happens, if that happens. But it hasn't happened. I know, but if.
Yes.
It hasn't happened.
Right. Come on.
And before it happens, I'm going to take this verse that says, it will be well with me.
Amen.
With me.
Amen.
So whatever happens, it's going to be well with me. Verse number 9, John, please.
I turn the curse into a blessing unto you, because I love you.
Wonderful. Deuteronomy 23:5 and Nehemiah 13:2. What a great promise. We know the curse is in the earth. God says he's going to turn it into a blessing for us because he loves us.
Yeah.
10 is me, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I have redeemed you from every sickness and every plague. Deuteronomy 28:61 and Galatians 3:13. Every sickness, every plague. That's diabetes. That's heart disease. That's arthritis. These things that seem to have no medical cure. He said he would redeem us. He'd take us away. He would pull us out of every sickness and every plague. Elizabeth 11.
As your days, so shall your strength be.
That verse came to me recently in a new way. I suppose I'd read it before, but I realized a couple of years ago I was attacked with a heart attack, and ever since then I've been trying to regain my strength. Excuse me. And I don't want to be as strong as I was. I want to be stronger.
Amen. Amen.
And I've been quoting that verse to myself. My strength is there for as long as I live, or as long as I have days. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
John 12.
Thank you, Jesus. I found a ransom for you. Your flesh shall be a refresher, fresher than a child, and you shall return to the days of your youth.
Who's the ransom for us?
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. 13. I've healed you and brought up your soul from the grave. I have kept you alive from going down into the pit. Psalm 31 and 2.
Thank you, Jesus. I'll give you strength and bless you with peace. Psalm 29:11.
Amen. That's another one I need to underline, is it? Strength and peace. John 15.
I will preserve you and keep you alive.
Amen. Psalm 41, 2. And you know, he means it. Even if you're facing immediate death, even if you're faced with who knows what, to kill you instantly, he says, I'll keep you alive.
Amen.
I can't help but think about Terry Mize. He told this story. I guess it happened 20, 30 years ago. But this man pulled a gun on him and shot him 5 times in the chest, point blank. I don't mean the muzzle was against his body, but they were close to each other. 5 times in the chest. And it didn't hurt him.
Praise God.
God kept him alive.
Yeah. He was established in love.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Woo! 16. I will strengthen you upon the bed of languishing. I will turn all your bed in your sickness. Amen. Psalm 41:3.
Hi, is it Pastor Johnson? I am the health of your countenance and your God. Hallelujah. Psalm 43:5.
Amen. The health of your countenance. That's a good one.
Amen.
John number 18.
No plague shall come near you, your dwelling.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 91:10.
Oh,
no plague.
You.
No plague.
Thank you.
Thank you. 19. I will satisfy you with long life.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 91:16. That's me. 20.
I heal all your diseases.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
You were just talking about Psalm 103. Thank you, Lord. John is 20.
I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from destruction.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
22. You shall not die, but live and declare my works. Psalm 118:17.
I heal your broken heart and bind up your wounds. Psalm 147:3. Praise you. Praise.
Isn't that a great promise? Because there are a lot of things that could break our heart. No one might see it. No one might know it. But God promises he sees it. And he knows it. And he will heal our broken hearts. I like that so much, John. For years, when he would pray for people, it seemed like more than one time in a service, he would pray that someone had a broken heart. And he would pray that their heart would be, come back, their emotions.
Yeah.
Healed. Oh, so precious. Okay, John, is it 24?
The years of your life shall be many.
Praise God.
Yeah, Proverbs 4:10. Trusting me brings health to your navel.
Amen.
And marrow to your bones. Proverbs 3:8.
That's a good scripture for digestive problems.
Yes. Yes.
Praise God.
And blood type diseases. Because isn't that where you make red blood cells is in the marrow of your body?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I was focused on the navel, but you moved on to the marrow.
Both of
them. Yes.
Take it all.
Amen. My words are life to you and health, medicine to all your flesh. Proverbs 4:22.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, they are. Thank you, Lord. Praise you.
27.
My good report makes your bones bad.
That's a strength scripture. You know, if your structure is fattened, it's strengthened. It's big and strong. Hallelujah.
The foundation.
That's it.
That's good. My pleasant words are sweet to your soul and health to your bones.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs 16:24.
My joy is your strength. A merry heart does good like medicine. Nehemiah 8:10 and Proverbs 17:22.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The eye, oh, that's John's turn. 30.
The eyes of the blind shall be opened. That's what Jesus could do. He opened their eyes.
And your lampstand is lit. Hallelujah. You got oil in the lamp.
Let's see, you're still reading 30. You were reading 30?
I am. Oh, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the eyes of them that see shall not be dim.
Receive that, Jesus' name.
So that means that you don't have to wear glasses.
Have your glasses on. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The ears of them that hear shall hearken. Isaiah 32:3 and 35:5.
Mama, can we just stop there a second? The ears of them that hear. You know, hearken means listening. But you got to, the ears of them that hear. You got to set yourself up to hear, right? So you can listen.
That's good. That's good. Goodness.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, that kind of, you talked about somebody being deaf, you think about somebody can hear, yeah. But follow it all through like it says. Mm. Right? The ears of them shall hearken. I can deaf person hearken means they're deaf to hearing revelation or insight God.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Oh my goodness, this font is so big and clear.
Hello, brother.
Hey there. How are you?
Everybody.
Here you are. This is wonderful.
Number 13. Yeah, I just read from 31.
My turn. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. The tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly.
Hey,
Isaiah 35:6 and 32:4.
I received that.
Amen.
As somebody who's dealt with that. Oh my goodness. You know, can I share something? I like sharing with you all. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, do you guys know this? When he first married Polly, you know, she was a preacher. Do you guys know this? He's married to a lady named Polly. You know Smith Wigglesworth.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And
I didn't know he was married.
I just learned this recently, that he met her at a church service where she got saved. That's where he met her, and he immediately wanted to be with her. And she wasn't too fond of him, from what understand, but eventually she came to see it his way, and they got married and loved each other. And she was a feisty Pentecostal preacher, and she wanted him to preach, but he was a stutterer. So he started his ministry with a children's ministry, and he had a pony, and he'd walk it all up and down the street and tell the children, he had a children's ministry. He said, if you want to ride the pony, you have to ride it to church. And all the kids says, I want to go to church because I want to ride the pony. So he'd bring them all to church with the pony. But his wife, Polly, kept insisting he needed to preach. And he resisted and didn't want to because he said, I can hardly talk. You know, everybody's going to laugh at me. But eventually he came around, and boy, was he a wonderful preacher.
Somebody in history was like that too.
Moses. And Benny Hinn said he used to stutter terribly as well.
You know, when
I'm so sorry, guys. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
You're so kind.
When Smith Wigglesworth's wife, Polly, even though she was a preacher, at some point she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And they had always believed that tongues and expressions of the Holy Spirit were of the devil. So he locked her out of the house. So Smith Wigglesworth locked his wife out of the house because she had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But she just laughed and went around to the back door and came on in. And it wasn't one day or 2 days. I mean, just a very short time. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Nobody locked him in.
And wasn't he the one that when she went on to glory, he started calling her back, and she come back and she told him, did you hear this story?
No.
She said to him, Smith, quit calling me back. I was in the middle of a conversation with the Lord. I said, stop it.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that wonderful what God did with a stammerer, a stutterer? Amen. And we all are stammerers and stutterers. At some point, there's a scripture in Isaiah that says God will use the stammerer. I've forgotten how it's phrased exactly, but the idea is with stammering lips, in other words, speaking in tongues, God will do mighty things. Amen.
In his lips.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I've forgotten whose turn it is. Let it be your turn. 33.
The lame man shall leap as a hart.
You know what a hart is?
No. Is that like a gazelle?
Some type of deer family.
Mm-hmm. I'd say 35:6.
Mm-hmm. I will recover you and make you alive. I am ready to save you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I give power to the faint. I increase strength to them that have no might.
Hallelujah.
Another strength, Isaiah 40:29.
I will renew. His brother going to read?
You read it, then he can read.
I will renew your strength. I will strengthen and help you. Isaiah 40:31.
That's good one for your legs since you're bleeding.
No, right? Strengthened. Philip, can you read 37 for us?
Sure. To your old age and gray hairs, I will carry you and I will deliver you.
Hear him, Lord.
Carry me. Deliver me. Hallelujah.
With that gray hair, I call that wrong way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Is that your turn?
I bore your sickness.
I carried your pains.
Mm. Oh, I received that.
Amen.
I was put to sickness for you, Isaiah 53:10, and that's Jesus talking.
With my stripes you are healed.
Amen.
By Jesus' stripes you were healed.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
It's already done.
You know, I've been focusing on that scripture, Isaiah 53:5, you know, the transgression and the iniquity and the peace, you know, which the torment, the lack of peace. And it says, and by his stripes you were healed. And I got a whole new revelation about that. You know, it's not just physical healing. It's the healing of your understanding of God. Mm. You know, because when you transgress, you know, it means you're out of order. You know, you've crossed the line. Sometimes we don't even know we're being disrespectful, dishonorable. And then the iniquity, you know, you have a bad towards a sin. Particular, you know, sin, and so he'll straighten you out. And then the chastisement for peace was upon him. There's a lot of torment when you're trespassing and iniquifying. When you're sin, you know, when you're out of order with God. And by his stripes, you were made whole. You are a whole person.
No, please don't apologize.
Good. Thank you, Lord, for making us whole.
Wow. 42, I will heal you. Isaiah 57:19.
Your light shall break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily.
Yes,
so that means God's not slow to heal.
Amen.
That's right.
Faith is not.
He doesn't hurt
yeah.
you.
That's right.
Read 44 for us.
Okay. I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 47:2.
Beautiful.
And that speaks to me. Restore means whole, made whole
mm-hmm.
in every sense of the word, every sense of it, from top to bottom.
Those wounds, you know, people speak words out of order and they will wound. And we don't even realize it. We're just walking around irritated all the time. We don't realize we've been wounded.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, Lord. He's restoring us and cleansing.
We're going to go this way. So, Elizabeth, your turn.
45. Is that where I am? Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure you and will reveal unto you the abundance of peace and truth.
Amen. Let's stop right there. Jeremiah 33. If you have your Bible.
By the way, real quick, I'll say an answer to you real busy and she may be able to.
Okay. Jeremiah 33, one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible.
Amen.
Praise God. For example, 33:3, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Turn over to verse 6. That's the one you just read, right?
Yes.
Go ahead and read it again.
Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth.
Amen. And as I studied this, I realized this whole chapter, God is talking about Jerusalem, His city. And often He talks about Jerusalem, meaning His people. Amen. Because it says, I'll bring it health and healing. Well, how can a city need health and healing? Well, its people need health and healing. And now we are His people. So let's go ahead and read verse 7, Elizabeth.
And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and I will build them as at the first.
And verse 8, Brother Philip.
Verse 8. I will cleanse them of their sins against me and forgive all their sins of rebellion.
Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? He's talking about me.
See, they've transgressed. They've dishonored me.
Mm-hmm. And verse 9, then it shall be. What is it? Well, His people, actually. His people shall be, or then it shall be to me, He's speaking of Himself, Father,
hallelujah.
God. You're going to be a name of joy. Let's just think about that.
My.
You are a name of joy.
My goodness, thank you, Jesus.
A praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth who shall hear all the good that I do for them. I'm going to put my name in here. Then Elizabeth shall be to God a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all nations of the earth who shall hear all the good that God does to Elizabeth. The nations shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that God provides for Elizabeth. Now, isn't that something? The nations will fear and tremble of all the good He does for Church of Beloved, for Victory Temple,
mm-hmm.
for the Goodwin family, the Beard family, the Love family. Nations, not just your next door neighbor, the nations will fear and tremble at all the good. See, we are to be a witness of the goodness of God. Thank you. Let me interrupt our reading.
Amen.
Wonderful. Precious. Isn't that perfect?
You know, you're talking about Jerusalem, the people being restored back to,
yeah.
and that's what we've been. We've been restored to real Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Jerusalem was where God resided, right? At the temple, he was in the Holy of Holies. So we go up in the real Jerusalem because our sins have been forgiven. What that 33 said.
Hallelujah. So good.
So that's a picture of what we have now.
Yes.
Praise God.
I'm sorry, but sometimes we don't realize who we go before.
That's right.
I mean, there's nobody more powerful, nobody more wise, nobody more skillful, and most of all, nobody loves us more. Hello, Miss Nancy.
So true.
Hello, Miss Nancy.
Thank you.
We're reading the Bible tonight.
Oh, that's good.
We're on page 3 or 4.
We've got to page 3. Which is further than we usually get.
I have that.
Can
you get to my half a page one?
What she said.
If I can show this picture, please. I had a math professor in college who said, okay guys, he told a joke about this hard math course, and he goes, okay guys, I'm on page 5, see if you can catch me. He didn't know how to do it either, you know, he told me.
Oh, so many times we open the Bible, you know, and one verse we get stuck, you know. It's so full of revelation. But I was making a joke. These are, just to recap, these are 101 things that God said basically about healing. And we are on the third page. And let's just read 45 again, Elizabeth, please.
Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure you, and will reveal unto you the abundance of peace and truth.
Amen. And we're just going around, Nancy. It's my turn, and then John's, and then yours. I will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. Ezekiel 34:16.
Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. What a powerful statement. I think about that when you did that. I put the dog together and went,
that's exactly the visual I got as well. Him breathing into Adam, creating a man, a human being.
And now he's willing to say, I'll breathe on you. So that means to me that he breathes on me. I'm perfect, like Adam was perfect, right? The body.
Yes. Yes,
so,
and full of life.
That's what happened when we raptured. He goes, glorified body.
That's the maximum he has to do, too, right?
Actually, that's what happened when they were born again. Yeah. That's very important.
The world was so exciting.
John, you didn't get to finish 47.
47. I didn't even remember what was that. I thought that breath. Oh, wow! I thought, behold, I will cause breath to enter to you, and you shall live. And I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. Amen. Like you said, that's when we were born again.
Nancy, you get to have a turn. 48.
Okay. Whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. They shall be healed, and everything shall live where the river comes.
And what river is that?
The Holy Spirit.
Yes, the river of the Holy Spirit brings life. It never brings death. It never,
amen,
brings death.
Amen.
You know why? You don't have it. You can't get something you don't have.
Exactly right.
Ooh, that's so good. 49, Philip.
Seek me and you shall live.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Seek.
Very simple formula. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very, very powerful. Number 50 says, I have arisen with healing in my wounds. Malachi 4:2.
I heard them preaching about that. Wings probably doesn't have the same connotation in English that it had in Hebrew. But as they researched it, they realized it's a structural meaning that the Lord said, I've risen with healings in my structure. And so if our foundation, if our walls, if our roof is made out of healing, what do we have? We have healing.
We are healing. Is it all those pieces?
Amen. Mm-hmm. We are healing.
Thank you. You know that phrase in active waiting in the wings? Mm-hmm. That they're waiting on a structure, right?
Mm-hmm. So the will of God. Timing. Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, we're moving to the New Testament. It's my turn. I will be thou clean.
Amen.
Matthew 8:3.
Great confession.
Isn't that good? Because the question was, will you or won't you? Not can you or can't you.
Yeah.
Jesus will you or won't you? And Jesus
clean.
Said,
I will.
It's my will.
I had a revelation about that verse just a few days ago. I shared it with Philip. I was reading it, you know, one morning, and he's talking about leprosy, right? And
yeah.
He said, if you are willing, you can cleanse me, Lord. And he said, I will. And it came to me that whatever you need to be cleansed of, and I was thinking of like high cholesterol, if you need to be cleansed of that, I mean, that's easier, I would think, than to be cleansed of leprosy.
Not many of it is hard for him.
But I told Philip that, you know, anything like that. Just, you know, I need my LDLs to be lower, or I need my triglycerides to be cleansed, or, you know, anything.
I need my arteries to be cleansed.
That's right.
Amen. I should have just got cut to the chase.
Well, the Lord was talking to me yesterday, exactly yesterday. And he said, do you know why you're not healed yet? I mean, let's just say it like it is. And I said, no, I really don't know. You know, I mean, you can say you don't have faith or you're not doing this or that. He said, because you have taken the responsibility for your illness, your eating habits, your childhood, your young womanhood, various times in your life, you have not done the right thing, and especially in eating and drinking. I mean, Dr. Pepper was my first name, not my middle name. Candy bars, chips, forget the food that your body needs. I was putting some sugar. And because I did that, and because I know I did that, I'm hesitant to receive healing. Can you believe that?
Wow.
You realize too much what you did, because the world tells you that. Satan tells you that. He's there trying to make you believe that. And he does. That's.
But not anymore.
You're such a good Christian. Right. You take no weight of it.
Thanks, Mom. She really believed that.
Yeah.
My mother, this is way off the subject, but she really believed, in fact, she asked me one time, do you think God will allow me to carry the sin of someone else so that they can be saved? I said, no, I don't. I believe Jesus did that. But she had been so deceived. She knew that. Jesus did that. But she had been so deceived and was so concerned about the souls of certain people in her family, she really thought, if I could die in their place, if I could bear their sin, would God forgive them? And she didn't even have to think that way, but she also wanted me to think that way.
She felt guilt.
Tell me, you were.
Extreme guilt. When I met John, I was kind of that way, and he said, could you please jump up on the cross, because it's kind of cold back then. I guess that's what I needed to hear, because I don't believe that any overtly. It looks like I've got a little wisp hanging around there. But in Jesus' name, I'm healed. You know why? For the love of God sent Jesus take stripes on his back, that I can be healed no matter what I ate, what I didn't eat.
See, the certain is, Jesus didn't do it all. Mm-hmm. That's not true. No matter what the body comes with sickness, virus, health problems, some malfunction, Jesus took it all, period.
That's right.
And that's what we got to have our minds renewed to.
He took the payment for the rebellion.
Oh.
Thanks.
He took it.
Yeah, he took it.
He took it. And you know that guilt and condemnation, that's a work of the flesh. So when you're in the spirit, that stuff ain't even, that doesn't exist. Hallelujah.
Isn't it funny? We won't judge the people for their faults, right? Yeah. But that same spirit is the one that condemns us. So we need to get delivered from that rascal.
Yeah. Quit looking at the hole in your brother's eye. Or the toothpaste.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. I like a mother go from the... Yes, you would. You would have said the words in your
hood.
That's right. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
I'm sorry, I've lost whose turn and where we are.
It's 52.
We're in Christ. Thank you, Lord.
I'll start 52. I took your infirmity. How's that?
Amen. Thank you,
that's
Lord.
Very good news.
I bore your sickness.
It's so liberating. It's so, he is the liberator.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
The truth sets you free.
Because without him, you're in a fog.
Come on.
And you're trying to figure out, what am I doing wrong?
Yes.
And you don't have sight.
Insight.
You don't have
revelation. Revelation brings insight.
You have no understanding.
The eyes of your understanding.
And all you're getting.
Get understanding.
So when he said that, the fog went away, and it was like, you know, repent from this and fix it. Let me fix this, and, you know,
it's done.
Easy.
Yeah.
And that's why we repent from something and try to fix it ourselves. When we still repent, ask him to cleanse us. So our consciousness is cleansed of doing that, cleansed from unrighteousness, right? That's what helped me so much in my life when he gave me that revelation. When I see I do something wrong, I confess that sin, and I know he forgives me, but there's more to it. I asked him to cleanse me of that unrighteousness, and sometimes I have to do it 6 months, but eventually it's gone.
That's when the rebellion comes up. Because I think, if I'm cleansed from wrong eating habits, that means I have to have good eating habits, and I don't want to.
Well, you can confess that sin, you know.
Yes, that's the sin.
Ask God to cleanse you of it, because that's an unrighteous thing.
Amen, it is.
So, I mean, that's a gift of God, to cleanse your consciousness. Because, like, there's rebellion that's in your consciousness. It's got to be cleansed, and God's the only one that can cleanse it. I'm sorry. What I'm saying is it's just a key. It's a key of heaven.
Hallelujah.
It is, honey. I'll be quiet. You laugh at me.
At least you didn't tell me to get back up on the cross.
If it would help, I would.
This rebuke is easy.
Well, you know what I'm saying? You try to make yourself the Lamb of God, and you're not. We are the Lamb of God. We don't realize that we get off in these dark times.
He looks over there, dark times.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, praise you, Lord. You know what? I just appreciate God so much. He knows what that means to him. He still with me.
My
well, think about it. I messed up with him. He still with me. And died for me, man. That's what a love.
Oh, but how perfect you are in him.
Yes, ma'am.
Just saying it.
Don't tell him.
Okay, don't give me all any of this. Oh, praise you, Lord.
Thank you, sir.
But sister, think about that. How perfect it is.
Yes.
He's so wants to be in my presence. Some people say, I want to be in his presence, and that's great, but the thing that really is perfect, all powerful, all knowing God wants to stand in the presence of the first little boy. It's marvelous.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
He wants to honor us.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Like, you know, who is this?
Oh, I was going to say, it's like whichever psalm it is that says, when he's talking about the number of thoughts the Lord has toward us.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And David, or whoever it was, says, my soul cannot take it in.
It's too high. It's just too wonderful.
I've read that.
139? Yeah.
139, okay.
When he gave me that scripture, I was like, you guys, she was still, I was her pastor back then. When he gave me that revelation, I was a little bit excited.
It has not abated.
And still I'm still get careful when I talk about that.
Thank you, Father. Where were we?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. If you're sick.
I thought 54 was
54.
Next.
54. If you're sick, you need a physician. I am the Lord, your physician.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 9:12 and Exodus 15:26. Goodness. You can have a turn. 55.
Oh. I just want to park out on, I am the Lord, your physician.
Amen. Do you remember when Brother Copeland was preaching and he said, most of you have received Jesus as Savior, but have you received him as healer? Have you received him as physician? And so he led the whole congregation, it was one of the conventions, led the whole congregation to receive Jesus in these aspects of our lives, you know, don't close anything off from him. Receive him as your physician. I should have put that on my paper. I went to the doctor. They had refilled out all the papers.
Jesus.
And so it says, who's your attending physician? I should have put Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh.
We don't have a doctor here.
Jehovah Rapha.
Yes, ma'am.
It's okay, I brought him with me.
Need a help doc?
Hey,
mine will help you, doc.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, 55. I am moved with compassion toward the sick and I heal them.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Brother Philip, 56.
I heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Wow, nothing's left out.
All manner.
Nothing's left
out. So now we're going counterclockwise?
Yeah, we...
Okay, it's Miss Angeline.
Well, I don't know, I missed it.
No,
we're going on this one.
Oh, okay. I know. I'm just waiting to let it go. I keep
up. God's tornado
on love.
We can
have, look at we. I know our numbers.
Thank you, Lord. So 57, according to your faith, be it unto you. Amen.
What a statement.
That's a... My goodness, the ball's in your court.
Absolutely.
Take it. Be it unto you, according to your faith. And I got faith that can move a mountain. 58, I'll give you power and authority over all unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Wow. That's there it is, all manner again. All of it.
But look what he said, though. He said, I give you the power and the authority. So we shouldn't be asking God for the power to heal. Mm-hmm. He's already given it. We just need to apply it.
You know, going back to 57, according to your faith that you brought up, that you can move mountains, you don't need giant faith. He said, size of a mustard seed. That's the smallest seed of all the seeds. Sometimes, well, I don't have enough faith. Stop lying to yourself. He's given everyone a measure of faith. His faith.
That's true.
Well, what that mustard seed produces.
You can move a mountain with it.
Mm-hmm. A fruit tree.
You know, I have a suggestion that we, where are we, 50-something? Oh, 58. I have a suggestion that we stop here and pick up next week because we're about a little over half. There are 101 of these. And so trying to rush through all of them, I mean, God's given us insight and revelation that we're sharing with each other. And so my suggestion is we stop. Can y'all mark it or remember? Or I guess I could start over.
Yeah, we'll mark right here.
But the point is, this is God's will. If there's ever a doubt, I think we're pretty sure that it's God's will to heal. But we're often attacked with the words, if it was really God's will to heal, then why doesn't he heal everybody? Or why didn't he heal my sister, my aunt, my whoever, right? And so first let's establish it's God's will, then establish the fact that God has given us the power and authority.
Amen.
Well, you said that, or that's important. Why did he give us the power and authority? Why did he just heal already? Because we have dominion. He won't break that.
Right.
We're going to have to do it. He gave us the power, and we're going to apply that power and take our authority. And that, to me, he said, I give you the power and authority. That means there's no disease that I don't have the power and authority over.
Amen.
None. Amen. I don't care what bad body fell for martial arts. You may have to pinch.
That's a cop out. I used to say that myself. I said, well, people would say they believe in healing. I said, and I thought I was being honest to myself. Why don't you go down to the hospital and start going room to room and healing those? If you really have the power, don't you want to use it? Don't you love them? You know, and that was a cop-out on my part. It was a cop-out because why didn't I go heal them? You know, why didn't I take my power?
Or it's, why are we disregarding God's spiritual laws and principles that he's telling us what it is? I want you, you know, I want you to be led by my spirit. Mm-hmm. It's not you leading yourself by your mind.
Right. Well, why don't we? Logical. We'll find out.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Good point.
Right. Yeah, but see, there was one, when Jesus went to his hometown, he only healed a few of them. Why? Because they viewed him as, this is Mary and Joseph's son, not the Messiah.
Yeah.
And so the reason you can't go down to the hospital and heal anybody, because those people are not seeing him as the Messiah, or God can heal me and God wants to. So because they have dominion and you can't break that part of it. You can't do it. They're going to be like, it says, when they came to Jesus and called upon him, sometimes they called him the son of David, sometimes, you know, whatever, the Messiah or the Christ. When they did that, then they were healed. Because they identified him as what he was.
Yeah.
And that opened the door for him to walk through and heal them, deliver them, or to cast out the devil where he needs you. They came to hear and heal them all. And the people in the hospital are not coming to hear.
They come to be sick.
Well, then that's such a good point. I can't say, even though I have power and authority, I can't say, God, I'll tell you who to heal.
Yeah, come on.
I'll tell you who to heal today.
Yeah, yeah.
It's his will to heal them all, but he knows the hearts. Like you said.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
And for us to be so arrogant and presumptuous that, wow, we don't have to know their heart.
And the same thing that would change us will change them. If they're willing to hear the word, it'll bring faith and it'll change them, right? Like we've been changed by hearing the word, by hearing and being filled with spirit and about prosperity. As we hear that word, we get a revelation and we know the truth and we're set free in that area. But see, they're not that way. No, I've had them say, I don't believe in that stuff.
Right.
Why? Because they hadn't heard the truth.
That's right.
So even though the all-powerful God is right there in their presence, he cannot heal them because they have dominion. But when he told me that revelation answered a lot of problems, why don't people be healed? Or why doesn't this baby die? You know, because the one that oversees that baby did not believe God. They may say they didn't, but when you believe God, everything's possible. Everything is possible when you believe God. There's some malfunction somewhere. It may be on our knowledge, but there's some spiritual reason God can't cross that line. Because the minute he crosses his word, he becomes the devil.
Yeah. Wow.
He becomes part of the disobedience, part of the curse. So he cannot cross his word. When he gives his word, he has to sense it in here. Because he cannot become a liar. Because when he does, the devil becomes his father. So that's why he, even though he loves them so much and willing to die for them, you know, his word, he has to stand back, waiting to say, Lord, that door for him. I like the ones that God says, the door of faith. The faith is what opens the door for God.
You know, go back to what you listened about the looking at the woman at the well. She said, she had the faith. She knew that if she could just touch the hem of his garment.
You see. And also, brother, she came to him. She came to Jesus and then told him what she needed.
You know, and some people come to church, they don't come to Jesus.
Come on, girl.
And that makes all the difference. They're not hungry and thirsting for righteousness. They're wanting to socialize or seek man or look good to themselves, justify themselves.
You know, I've been to churches where the pastors were real,
charismatic,
but there's no working of God there. Because the people were coming for that, he's such a great person, he's just my, so, wait a minute.
It's the person.
What works of God is being done there? Come on, what works of God are being done there? You know,
That's the word. It's going to follow signs and wonders to confirm the word.
And that's why signs and wonders follow Jesus, because he was the living word. And that's what, personally, that's what I want to be, the living word. You know what I mean? Yes. I'm not trying to replace Jesus, but I am like him.
You want to be in perfect intimacy with him in unity. That's what it's all about. Perfect intimacy and unity and oneness with God.
You know, when that love fills your heart and begins to flow out of your life, then people just like to be around you.
That's right. Yeah. You're irresistible. Because it's Jesus.
Yes, come on. He hadn't lost his touch, has he? You let him come at you, let the crowd come.
Subjects ago, you were going to say something.
I'm sorry. Well,
it had to do with the fact that Pastor John was saying that we can't overcome somebody's will. And the authority he has given us is not over other people, right? It is over the devil. So we can rebuke that devil of infirmity, right? Like Jesus said, why should this daughter of Abraham continue to be, you know, he said, whom Satan hath Bert, what did he say? Bound. Bound, thank you. So we have that power to unbound, right? To bind and loose. Mm-hmm. So we have that. So once we do that, then the prayers, I believe, you know, but when those walls come down, whether it's a wall of unbelief or a wall of, well, it's all unbelief, right? Or it's, whether it's unbelief God wants to heal them, or whether it's unbelief they even can be healed, mm-hmm. or whatever, words they've spoken over themselves, etc. But all those things that Satan uses legally to hurt them, we can pull those off, right? Because Satan is the one holding that over. So we can get him off, and so then we pray, right, that the glory, the light of Jesus shine on them. And then he would send out laborers to that person.
That's right.
Yeah. Also, the going that way, remember the scripture where Jesus told about one goes out, but the seven more come back. So like we said, we've got to really build our heads around when we do that, something like that. Because they was going to try to come back with seven more.
That's true.
No one's going to try to make it so strong. That,
aware of very much, but that is so true. That's so true. And with Bob and I pray for souls almost every night. I haven't thought about that. That the devil is like, well, yes, you cast us out, but we're going to try and come back around from the other side or something.
You said a very important thing, Miss Nancy. Once the devil's broken off, that you also pray for God to give them insight. You saying that. So that if they get inside and resist that,
then it's much harder for those devils to
have that. Because the devil can't break your will either.
Right.
So once they resist him, he's finished, so he gets him to open the door again.
That's right.
That's right.
More how we need to pray.
Exactly. There's so much.
I learned that years ago. There was this lady who was going to a church, and every so often they asked me to go come in and preach. It was my first sorting, and I knew her very well. She went to the hospital, and she was very sick, and she wanted to go and pass into heaven. And her husband wouldn't let her go, kept holding on to all of them. And I knew that the Spirit of God told me that. So I wasn't going to tell that to him because he's not going to let her go, you know. And finally, the Lord had me to pray that he gave the insight. It's time to let her go.
Because she was determined to go.
It's time. She wasn't satisfied where she was at. She wanted to go into heaven. And finally, the day that he let her go, she passed heaven just that quick. But he was holding her, right? And because the one had, he had that covenant with her, he could put a hold on her. So I made me realize how powerful the bond of marriage is. He can ask the holder from going to heaven, she's wanting to go.
And along those lines of being offensive to the enemy, when I was lying in the hospital with that heart attack a couple of years ago, you know, there was some pain, there was some things going on, and I said, devil, you get off me. And it continued, the pain continued. I said, okay, I'm taking the nation of Russia for Jesus. Devil, I'm taking Russia for Jesus. Every man, woman, boy, girl in Russia, I'm taking them for Jesus. The pain subsided. But the pain came back. I said, no. Now I'm taking China, Russia, and China. And I mean, I just kept going until he let go and went off somewhere else. Because he had to go shore up his defenses again because the hole had been put in them.
Yeah. That's the revelation God gave you too. Like, cold or virus comes from my family. I'd pray for them to be healed, but then I'd attack, Father, which hospital you want me to pray in the spirit for the people to be healed? you get them in the hospital, I'll start praying, and they get finished with that. And they, which one? And I said, you mess with my family, and I'll pray in the hospital's empty. Because I just pray in tongues, let God do that pray to the Spirit, pray the perfect will for those people. Thank you, Jesus, for praying in the Spirit.
And you keep your eyes on Jesus. That's
amen.
And the devil doesn't want that. He wants you to keep your eyes on the report of the world, the doctors, the sickness, the death. He wants you to behold the death instead of life. The report of life. Jesus, he's the report of life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, this is wonderful. Let's pray together. Can you reach each other's hands? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're grateful that you've given us your wonderful will. We receive it. And Father, we ask that everybody that hears the living word that comes out of our mouth will receive it and be transformed.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, King Jesus, Lamb of God, perfect, beautiful, wonderful, wonderful Counselor. In your wonderful, precious name, we give you praise. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Well, we'll
put this up. I'll put this in it.
Okay.
Hopefully, the thing charges.
I brought something for Nancy. Oh, thank you.